my dreams away. Underneath the arches, on cobblestones I lay. Every night you'll find me, tired out and worn. Happy when the daylight comes creeping, heralding the dawn. Sleeping when it's raining, and sleeping when it's fine. Trains rattling by above. Pavement is my pillow, no matter where I stray. Underneath the arches, I dream my dreams away.
City by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio. Where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, crime amongst the annals of history with Crime Classics and Fireman James Evans. But first, let's head out west for some adventure with The Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid was one of radio's most memorable westerns, made its debut on WOR Mutual in October of 1942. At the time, Cisco was played by Jason Beck. A fat and funny sidekick, Pancho, was Louis Sorin. The series was billed as the story of O. Henry's beloved bad man, who rides the romantic trail that leads sometimes to adventure, often to danger, but always to beautiful señoritas. Cisco was a Mexican adventurer, promoted as an outlaw who victimized the rich and greedy. This early series, directed by Jock McGregor, lasted little more than a season, but the characters were revived in a Mutual Don Lee version about 1946. This time around, Jack Mayer played Cisco, and and Henry Lang was Pancho. Mayer and Lang made a solid adventure team. The program continued on Mutual through the mid-1950s. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Cisco Kid and Terror Town from October of 1954. Another classic radio program from the audio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Mar, Jamis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, Domino.
The Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid in our thrilling story, Terror Town. Most town marshals of the Old West were fearless men who did their honest best to uphold the law and maintain peace and order. But with all sorts of people flocking to the West, it was inevitable that now and then a town would hire a marshal who was not only unscrupulous, but a born killer. Take, for example, the case of Drew Cagle, one of the deadliest men who ever drew a six-gun. As our story opens, Cagle, now marshal of the town of Sandy Creek, is walking along the town's single street. With him is a henchman, one Bud Wyatt.
These coyotes better fork over. If they don't,
you'll drill them, huh?
In self-defense, Wyatt, they'll all have a chance to draw first.
Yeah, with you the fastest gunman in the West.
Then let them pay. Well, here's Adam's store. Come on.
He's a mighty independent galoot, just like that niece of his. He might not pay up.
He better.
Good morning. Can I help
you? Oh, where's Adams?
He's out in the back of the store. I'll call him. Uncle George.
What is it, Mary?
Marshal Cagle's here to see you.
All right. What can I do for you, Marshal?
Maybe you remember I spoke to you some time ago about paying me $20 a month for protection.
Yeah, I remember. Said I wouldn't do it.
You better change your mind, Adams. I'm here to collect.
That's an outrage. You got no right to make him pay that money.
I'm dealing with him, ma'am, not you. Well, you gonna pay, Adams?
No, by thunder.
Wyatt, draw off a dipper of that vinegar.
Sure, Marshal.
You leave that dipper where it is.
I got my orders, ma'am.
Adams, you're packing a gun. They tell me you know how to use it. And I'm going to find out.
Oh, now look, please.
Stand aside, ma'am. Unless you want to get hurt.
Here's the vinegar, Marshal.
I'm giving you a chance to draw first, Adams. You going to do it?
I'll tell you, you can't come in here and make trouble. You just...
Shut up. Since you won't draw, Adams, you yellow-bellied buzzard. You'll get this vinegar right in the face. Give her off. Now will you draw, or are you yellow all the way through?
You bet I'll draw, you sidewinder.
Oh, no, Uncle George, no.
Yeah, I guess that finishes him, Cagle.
Oh, you beast, you thing. Yeah.
He drew first, ma'am. You saw it yourself.
Oh, you murderer. Maybe you've got this town scared to death, but I know a man you can't scare. And I'm going to bring him here. You.
Pancho. Pancho, wake up. Can't you wake up?
The snores of yours are shaking the whole earth.
Go, come on,
wake up. It's time we rode to Sandy Creek to look the town over.
Pancho, wake now, Cisco. Pancho dream tried to turn a stampede in the cattle.
It's no wonder. Your snoring sounded like a stampede. Come on, get up, Chico.
Easy, Pancho, get up.
I've heard the Sandy Creek is a tough town. I'm curious to find out just how tough it is.
We'll find out, Cisco.
Yeah.
Rider come to the camp, Cisco.
Oh, see. A senorita, Pancho.
A senorita, Cisco.
Whoa,
boy. We have seen this senorita before, Pancho. I cannot think just where. What is there, senorita?
Where is there, senorita?
Mary Adams,
Cisco.
You may remember me.
Oh, si, of course. You and your uncle live in Adobe City.
Yeah, run a store in Adobe City.
We did up to 2 years ago. Then we moved to Sandy Creek. I'm here to ask you to help me, Cisco.
Of course, senorita.
That fiend of a Marshal Cagle shot down my uncle because he wouldn't pay the Marshal $20 a month.
For what?
For no reason at all, Cisco. The Marshal just levied that amount on every storekeeper in town. And when Uncle George refused to pay...
Oh, poor senorita. Poor senorita.
Pancho, there's no need for you to cry, too.
Francisco wouldn't find it if senorita cry.
Quieto. You mean, senorita, that this Marshal Cagle shot down your uncle without giving him a chance?
Well, he told him to draw first, but the Marshal's a deadly gunfighter. It was just murder.
I've heard of this Cagle. He's a bad hombre, according to reports. Are you sure your uncle was killed, senorita?
I guess so. I was so upset. Anyway, I sent for the doctor, but Cagle said he wouldn't let the doctor see Uncle George.
He said that?
Yes.
Pancho, get our horses saddled at once.
Yes, go ahead, one.
Senorita, you go back to town as fast as you can. Attend to your uncle if he is still alive.
All right, Cisco. Be there soon, won't you?
You can depend upon that.
Come right to the store. Yeah!
What are you doing, Cisco?
Making sure my guns are in good working order, Pancho. For today, I know I'm going to need them.
Understand I need it at George Adams' store, Wyatt.
Well, I wouldn't go in there if I was you.
What do you mean? Why not?
I mean just that, Doc. Marshal Cagle had just as soon you didn't.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Oh, he didn't make a point of it. He just kind of left it to me to decide.
Suppose I do go into that store.
Well, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to take a pot shot at you, Doc.
Well, I'm going into that store, Wyatt. Pot shot or no pot shot?
Suit yourself, Doc.
Where's Cagle? I want to talk to him after I tend to George Adams.
I don't rightly know where he is.
Well, when you do see him, you can tell him this for me. You can say a lot of us here in Sandy Creek are getting mighty tired of his high-handed ways. That goes for you, too, Wyatt.
That's so.
You better watch your step, both of you. That's all I got to say.
Better watch your steps, huh? I'll show that sawbones. Why, I'll drill him right in the back and then... Here comes that girl. I better not. She'd be a witness.
Whoa, boy. Oh, you're still hanging around here, Wyatt. Well, you can go tell Marshal Cagle he'd better get out of town in a hurry. Because the Cisco kid's on his way in.
Where the store, Cisco?
Right ahead of us, amigo. There's Senor Adams' name on the front of it. Hold on.
Hold.
Now, you will see what is what.
Let's see.
How is your uncle, senorita?
Oh, the doctor says he's got a chance, Cisco. I'm so happy about it. I thought he...
See, I understand, senorita.
This is Dr. Lee. The Cisco kid in Pancho.
Buenos dias, doctor.
Buenos dias, doctor.
Glad to know you, Cisco. You too, Pancho.
Gracias.
I've heard a great deal about you both.
Gracias. May we help you carry Senor Adams to his bed?
Yeah, if you will, Cisco. He's still unconscious, but I believe he's got a good chance to recover. Once I probe for and get that bullet out.
Bueno, we'll help you all we can, Doctor. Then perhaps you will tell us where we can find this Marshal Cagle.
Hey,
Hey, Cagle.
What's the matter, Whitehead?
I've been looking for you.
And right here in the cafe. Yeah, you're looking worried.
Yeah, well, maybe I've got reason to. The Cisco Kid just got into town.
Cisco, huh?
Yeah. He's the one the Adams girl rode out of town to get. She must have gone to his camp.
How'd she know he was anywheres around here? I didn't even know that myself.
I don't know. People coming into the store from the ranches probably saw him at camp and talked about it at the store. Anyway, he's here, and the chances are he's coming after you, Cagle.
Did you see Cisco ride in?
Yeah, him and that partner of his. Over at Adams' store now.
All right. I ain't in any hurry about meeting up with Cisco. I'll let him worry a while. I got some more collections to make down at the other end of the street. I'll go tend to them, then I'll come back. And I'll come shooting. If you have a chance, Wyatt, you can tell Cisco that.
Go see the cafe now, Cisco?
Si, Pancho. Be very careful. There are 5 or 6 gunfighters among those hombres.
You walk right into the gang, Cisco, huh?
I have no choice, amigo. By now, those hombres must know the senorita rode to our camp to ask our help. This move is ours. To hesitate even one little bit would be fatal.
Cisco never hesitates, Cisco.
In this country, Pancho, one cannot. Therefore, if I act tough in that cafe, you will understand why.
Cisco put on what you call the bluff.
Word is as good as any.
Uh-huh.
Keep your back to the wall near the door, Pancho.
Yes, Cisco.
If Kegler's in here, perhaps the whole matter can be settled right now.
With the guns, Cisco?
With the guns, Pancho. Uh-huh. It's the only language coyotes of that kind understand.
Hey, here's a Cisco Kid now.
Where's Cisco Kid?
I'm looking for Marshal Kegel. Is he here?
No, he ain't.
Where is he?
You'll find out soon enough, Cisco.
I want a different answer, hombre, and I want it at once. You understand?
It's kind of dangerous to go around slapping faces in here, Cisco.
So? It's never dangerous to slap the faces of rats like you.
By thunder, I'll...
Well, you're going to draw? I'm waiting. Has anyone else anything to say? Very well. Now, you. Where is Cagle?
He went down the street, Cisco.
When he gets back, tell him his hours in this town are numbered. Tell him that if he is here 1 hour from now, I'm coming after him. You understand, Mavericks?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Come, Pancho, and back out the door.
Si, Cisco. Tough hombre, but Cisco tough.
Well, it's going to be a gunfight, boys. There's no other way out of it.
And so Cisco lays down the law to Marshal Cagle. In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid.
Learn more about the golden age of radio at radioyesteryear.org. That's radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now back to the Cisco Kid and our thrilling story, Terror Town. When Mary Adams brought word to Cisco that her uncle had been shot down by Drew Cagle, marshal of the town of Sandy Creek, for refusing to pay tribute, Cisco at once rode to town. In the cafe where he looked in vain for Cagle, he told the marshal's henchman that unless Cagle was out of town inside an hour, he, Cisco, was coming after him. Now, having left the cafe, our friends are on their way back to Adams' store.
Cisco think Cagle leave the town?
Probably he will not, Pancho. Cagle has the reputation of being not only a bad, but a fearless hombre.
Pancho leave the town if Pancho thinks he's to after him.
Well, I'm not after you, amigo. But someone must take this town marshal in hand.
Yes, he's good, do it.
Come on, let us go into the store, Pancho.
Yeah, we go into the store.
Did you
you have any trouble with the marshal, Cisco?
I did not see the marshal, senorita.
But the marshal hear about Cisco, senorita. Cisco is slap a hombre in his face. Shut up.
And Joe, we will not talk about that. How is your uncle, senorita?
I think he's better, Cisco. Well, the doctor's just coming out of his room now.
Will Senor Adams recover, doctor?
I think so, barring the unforeseen, Cisco. I've got to go on back home now.
But, doctor, I...
Yes?
I wish you could stay here. That Cagle and Wyatt, they might shoot you down.
Oh, I don't think so, Mary.
I will walk to the doctor's home with him, senorita.
Oh, no need of it, Cisco.
Nevertheless, if you have no objections, I will go with you. The senorita is right. Those hombres are in an ugly mood. Pancho, you stay here.
Si, Cisco.
Just in case that Cagle hombre should decide to call around here again.
What's everybody so quiet all of a sudden for? You, Wyatt, what's the matter?
Well, nothing's the matter, Cagle. It's just that...
That what?
The Cisco kid was here.
Here in the cafe?
Yeah. He came in here looking for you, Cagle. I told him you'd gone down the street.
Go on. What's the rest of it?
Well, Cisco said if you was here in town in an hour, he was coming after you. And if I was you, Cagle, I'd take that advice and get out.
Why, you buzzard! No! I never run from anybody in my life, and I ain't starting in now. When I get through with the Cisco kid, he'll be stretched out on a sled.
Well, that's up to you, Cagle. Hey, here goes Cisco now, walking down the street with the doc.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen him. So help me, he'll never walk back up that street. Wait a minute. I ain't got that $20 from Adam's store yet. Right now would be a good time to go and get it. I'll show that Cisco kid he can't fool with Drew Cagle.
You know, this Tom Marshall Cagle, he a bad hombre, senorita.
He's more than just bad, Pancho.
Oh.
And now he's in his marshal, he's just taken over everything, and we can't get him out.
Cisco get him out, senorita.
You have great confidence in Cisco, haven't you, Pancho?
Nobody likes Cisco, senorita. And nobody could ever be like Cisco.
Yes. I know how wonderful he is.
Cisco tell Pancho, jump over cliff. Pancho jump. And Cisco tell Pancho, jump into a deep river. Pancho jump.
I'm sure you would, Pancho. There's only one man more wonderful than Cisco.
More wonderful than Cisco?
Well, to me, Pancho, yes. That's Dr. Lee.
Oh, Pancho, understand. You're a fine sailor, Dr. Lee.
Yes. Oh, but what am I talking about? Oh, this must be Cisco coming back.
That sounds like the way Cisco walked. It's not Cisco, senorita. It's a Cagle hombre.
Oh, good heavens. What do you want now?
I'm just calling for that $20 I didn't collect.
Senorita, not give the hombre the money. Not give the hombre nothing.
You better keep your trap shut.
Pancho, I got the trap to shut, but Pancho tells
get
you...
Get out of my way.
Oh, no, please, don't have any trouble with him, Pancho.
I said get out of my way.
Pancho, stay where Pancho is.
All right, then, hombre, go for your gun.
Oh, no, no.
Pancho, not go for the gun. Pancho fight you with a bare fist, hombre.
Oh, no, you won't. Now I'll just help myself to that 20, and you can tell Cisco I collected.
Wait, Senor Doctor. Did you hear that shot?
Oh, I thought I heard something, Cisco, but I was talking and
it was a gunshot and it came from the direction of the store. Perhaps we had better go back.
Yeah, by all means. I wonder what that shot could have meant.
You don't know for sure, Doctor, but I hope it is not what it could be.
What do you mean?
I hope that Cagle hombre did not go back to the store.
Finish off George Adams?
That is what I'm afraid of. Come, let us get there.
If Mary's all right, I... Great Scott.
Nothing here. Pancho!
Cagle shot him down, Cisco.
Stand aside, Mary. Let me get a look at him.
So, Cagle shot him down.
He came back after the money that Uncle George refused to give him. Pancho got in his way and he just shot him down.
Is Pancho... is he dead, Doctor?
No, he's not dead, but... Mary.
Yes?
Mary, hand me that knife on the counter. I want to cut away some of this cloth around the wound.
All right.
Now you might get me a basin of water.
I'll get it right away, Doctor.
What do you think, Doctor? Have you no idea if the wound is fatal?
Oh, I won't say it's fatal, Cisco. I can't tell yet. Certainly, it's very serious.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho, amigo. I'm right here.
Pancho, I can see you, Cisco.
I'm right here, Chico.
You not hurt, Cisco?
No, I'm not hurt, Pancho.
Then, Pancho, happy. Pancho, afraid you hurt, Cisco. Pancho, happy.
Here's the water, Doctor.
Oh, thank you. What can I do to help you, Doctor?
Nothing right now, Cisco. I don't want to move him just yet.
How soon will you need me?
Well, you could help in, say, 15 minutes.
15 minutes? Very well. I will be back here.
Where are you going, Cisco?
I have a job to do, Senorita. I hope it will not take long. All right, hombre. Get that buzzard of a marshal out into the street. Pronto!
Hey, you better get under cover. It's going to be gunplay.
Come out into the street, Keiko, or I will come in after you.
Oh, I'll come out. Here I am, Cisco. What are you going to do?
Keiko, you have gone too far in this town. I left you a message to leave. You did not leave. Now I'm going to make sure you do.
Right where you are, Cisco.
See, for a moment. Long enough to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to kill you, Kegel. I do not kill. But I'm going to give you the beating of your life. Keep your hands away from those guns till I finish talking.
Go on. I'm listening.
You do not leave then, I'm going to have the men of this town ride you out on a rail. You'll be lucky indeed if they do not lynch you.
All right. You're going to go with your gun, Cisco, or I'll gun
you down. You first, hombre. I'll draw after you. Well, I'm waiting.
You sure won't have to wait long. I'm going now.
By thunder! Shot that gun out of Cable's hand.
I'll be something, Doctor.
There, you talk big, hombre. That talk alone is not enough.
That's just what I'm aiming to do.
This is for shooting Senor Adams. Hombre, this is for shooting Spancho. That blow hurt him.
So will this one. And this one.
And finally... there. All right, get up on your feet, Marshal. Now, you are going to get out of town.
Yeah, I will, Cisco.
After you pay back the money you have stolen from these people.
Yeah, I'll pay them back.
See, you will. And then you will get out of town under escort. An escort that will take you to the prison in Adobe City. Now, you, Wyatt. You are leaving town too, perhaps, eh?
Oh, yeah, right away, Cisco.
And the rest of you, Sidewinders.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sit at your two, at once.
Yeah, this calls for celebration, Cisco.
Yeah. No, senor. Gracias, but this is no time for celebration for me. I must get back to Pancho at once.
We both should be very thankful, Cisco. Uncle George and Pancho are both nearly well.
See, I am thankful, Senorita. I know you are, too.
And I can't begin to tell you, Cisco, how grateful we all are to you.
Well, there's no need to be, Senorita.
Oh, but we are. The whole town is. Dr. Lee was saying just last night he wished you'd settle here.
Dr. Lee is very kind. But Pancho and I never stay in one place for long.
I know. But, you will come back when I...
You and the doctor are married?
Yes.
Indeed we will, Senorita. I will ride many miles indeed to kiss the bride.
That's a promise. And, meanwhile, Cisco...
Si?
This is to make sure you keep your promise.
Gracias, Senorita. Dr. Lee is a very lucky man.
Thank you.
Si, Pancho.
Aren't you glad to ride again? It's good to be out in the air.
Oh, of course it is, Chico. You had quite a bad time, but now you are fully recovered.
Yeah, Pancho feel much better now.
Well, more like the same old Pancho again. You feel perfectly all right, amigo?
Well, Pancho feel pretty much all right. One little thing worry, Pancho. Pancho feel a little, how do you say it?
You feel a little dizzy?
No, Cisco. Pancho, I feel dizzy. Pancho feel a little,
maybe tired?
No. Pancho, I feel tired. Is that the other word? Pancho, that you think of it.
Well, now, wait. Let me see.
Oh, Pancho, remember now. Pancho feel a little 7 days.
A little 7 days? Well, how's that, Chico?
Pancho feel a little weak.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Harry Lett.
From October of 1954, it's been Terror Town with the Cisco Kid. In a moment, crime classics and a case of Fireman James Evans as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Crime Classics was a neat little series of true crime stories from the records and newspapers of every land from every time. It came to CBS in September of 1953. The host was the fictitious Thomas Highland, played by Lou Merrill, and described as a connoisseur of crime, a student of violence, and a teller of tales. The production crew was among radio's finest, including Elliot Lewis, producer-director, who created the show from his large personal library of crime classics. Cases on the program range from 17th century murder to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Crime Classics and the case of Fireman James Evans from April of 1954. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. Going to a fire in 1826. A team of horses pulling the fire engine of the Norwich Union Boys Firehouse. Arriving at a fire. The Norwich Union Boys doing what they best like to do. Snuffing out fires in Manchester, England. There goes one of the Norwich Union Boys right into the thick of it, where smoke and flame is the densest. Chopping things the way he was taught to do. The trouble is, he was a novice. He hadn't learned to discriminate.
Help me! Help me!
Yes, sir.
My report to you on James Evans, fireman. How he extinguished a human torch.
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland. Connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
civic-minded people called Manchester Cottonopolis, but those who could never forget the Peterloo Massacre called it the City of Orphans, among other epithets, some in Gaelic. This massacre, you'll remember, was simply a matter of shooting and riding down and thereby slaughtering some 1,000 citizens who gathered in a park to protest the corn laws. Mary Warden's mother and father had the distinction of being trampled to death by the same cavalrymen. And on Mary Warden's 10th birthday, too. And what happened to Mary Warden is this. She was removed immediately to Mother Winnie Penn's Souls Harbor Orphanage, where she spent the next 6 years learning to be a drudge. Then, one day...
That one there, Winnie Penn.
Mary Warden?
Aye, if that be her name.
She's scrub for you and cook and earn her keep.
Of dexterity. Tell me that.
With the needle, her fingers fly like a dooley bird.
Aye. How old is she?
She'd pass for 20, couldn't she?
But she's only...
16. What do you say, Mr. Price?
Call her to the wire. Let me have a look at her.
Mary. Mary Warden. Come. Stop twisting your hair, Mary, and stand you still. Here's a gent thinking of taking you away from us.
Would you like to go with me, child? Child?
Shy, ain't we today, Mary? Well, come you here. Bend your head close, and I'll tell you a thing that'll take away your shyness.
No.
Mary.
You old crow.
Fit for the stage, she is. Ah, oh, Mary. We'll miss her.
I bend my head close. You'll try to stretch my ear from my head. You old golly knacker.
Them that don't appreciate the gentle and the loving kindness.
Mister?
I'm Mr. Price.
Take me away from here.
You want to go away with me?
I must get out of here before she whips the skin fair off me.
I ask you something, child.
I must get out of here.
With me? With me?
Yes, sir.
Winnie Penn.
Them that don't appreciate...
She wants to go with me.
£20, same as the rest.
£20? Well, that's more than I...
Oh, I want to go away, sir. With you, sir. I wouldn't go with anybody else.
Do you now? Oh, do you now?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it was that Mary Warden was indentured to Thomas Price. At the wage of £4 a year, Mary would be free to go her own way at the age of 21. That is, if Mr. Price did not fine her for not obeying him in whatever was his whim. And he was nothing if not whimsical. Now, while Mr. Price was situating Mary in the back room of his factory, seeing that she was comfortable in her new position and all, let's look in on the firehouse of the Norwich Union Boys. A young man, James Evans by name, has just passed all the tests in order to become a fireman.
Oh, here are your buttons.
Sadi, Chief.
And here your badge.
Sadi, sir.
And you must keep them polished all the time.
Yes, sir.
And notice the raised figures on button and badge. Crouched panther for always alert. The rose for courtesy. The coiled serpent for neatness.
Yes, sir.
And you're one of us, a Norwich Union boy.
Chief.
Yes, Evans?
Thank you for everything.
Oh, of course.
And I want to tell you this, that it is an honour to serve under the greatest netman in the business.
Have your buttons sewn on, Evans. Come back and we'll have a game.
Oh, yes, sir.
Of course we do.
Buttons?
Anything in the line of clothes and buttons and fabrics.
I want these sewn on.
Oh, then it's a fireman you are, eh?
A Norwich Union boy.
Right. Mary. This one's a Norwich Union boy and he needs his buttons sewed too. You just go through that gate, sir, and Mary will sew them in an inch. And 12 buttons is a farthing, young sir. There you go. I'll be packing the fustian, Mary. Hey to me when you're done.
Oh! Tardy, tardy for picking up for me. Oh, they're all over the floor.
I'll get them.
Oh, let me.
Me.
Fumbly fingers, they tremble.
Give them to me.
Oh, God.
Give them to me. Oh, they're chill.
And your hands so warm.
Then meet me.
Tonight, when the River Medlock turns left past Crowley's Landing at 12 o'clock, you want me to sneak out, do you not?
Does not your father let you?
Oh, my father. I'm an indentured servant, I am.
Oh, my.
And James Evans, sensitive boy, was lost forever. This poor and beautiful girl, no better than a slave. And all day long his hands felt the touch of her hands, and all day long he remembered the scent and texture of her golden hair as she leaned to bite off the thread. Suddenly life became complicated, a life that before this meeting had only poles and nets and ladders and hooks and solidarity meetings and hoses and hound mascots. Now suddenly there was a woman. That night by the river...
How did you get out?
As he slept, I stole keys from him.
Poor Mary. Poor, poor Mary.
And what will you do for your poor Mary?
My poor Mary?
For I am yours.
What shall I do for you?
Go to him who's bought me and offer him the price he paid.
Pay off your indenture?
£20.
Oh.
Do you have all that much money?
It's all I have.
Oh, then you'll be penniless and I will. But with our love, we'll be richer than that dicky harness.
Yes. And I have a good job.
And I'll make you a good home.
And then put your hand in mine. Mary. Mary. Pretend.
Pretend what?
That I've paid Mr. Price and you no longer belong to him and that your fancies are free. Yet you can think of no one but me. Oh, Mary.
I cannot pretend it when it's reality.
Tomorrow, I will go to him.
Then perhaps tomorrow it will be reality.
No, but... No,
Mr. Price.
What's the matter with you, fireman? You can't take no for an answer.
But why?
She's a good girl and she sews like a cherub and she scrubs like an angel. And besides, I have a contract with Mother Winnie Penn and I have no intention...
£21.
Not an hundred.
But she's not meant to be indentured, not such as she, as Luli as she, Darblin. Why laughter? At such a time, why laughter?
You love her. Truly and without doubt. Tell me, sir.
What?
A love of the poets, sweet and soaring, or a pitying love like Sir Mumford and Fanny? Or is it...
I love her, and I wish to purchase her out of bondage.
Then let me tell you, sir, it'll never be. For myself, I have plans. When she can sew nimbly as I like, when she cooks with smiling skillet as I like, and she keeps house in a manner neatly... Then I could do worse than to take her as a wife. And what do you say to that, young fireman?
A pox to you.
A pox to him.
That's exactly what I told him.
He wants to marry me.
And that's exactly what he told me.
I wouldn't marry him if he were Lord Duncan and all his birds.
Well, then here's what he could do. Simply keep you indebted to him for as long as he wants by... fines, by whatever.
I'd go to the courts.
And they would uphold him and not you.
Then what will you do for me?
Pretend.
What?
There's a world, a wonderful world when you pretend. Then anything can be yours for as long as you pretend.
James.
I do it all the time.
James.
I pretend that you are mine. pretending is...
James, when I leave you, when I return to my straw in the draft, shall I pretend it's a palace bed warmed by a fire of burning oak? And shall I pretend that Mr. Price is a prince?
What would you have me do?
Oh, rid me of him.
How?
You have your buttons, James.
Yes, I have.
Therefore, you have a good head upon you and a strong back.
I'm a Norridgeunian boy.
Oh, yes, you are. Then make a plan and follow it. Rid me of him.
I will.
Swear it?
I swear it.
Oh, James.
Yes?
Let's pretend there is no Mr. Price. Let's pretend I'm free for a while. For a little while.
And there, where the River Medlock turned left past Crowley's Landing, the cricket sang, and the lovers spoke of love.
Gaw!
And made promises.
A way to rid him is already forming in my brain.
Which is the way the evening went. To settle any arguments, it was Vanderheide who in 1670 invented the hose. A year later, he stumbled upon the principle of the suction pipe, and putting the two together, it enabled the fire engine to be some distance away from both the fire and the source of water. Before Vanderheide, fires were fought with squeezing streams of water from leather bags. It should be said that in this era, things mostly burned to the ground. In the era we are concerned with, the 1820s, the city of Manchester depended upon three Newsham fire engines, manned by three fire companies, respectively. And the company that was wanted most was the Norwich Union Boys. And the most recent recruit of this crack company was a crack youth named James Evans. He knew a lady on Bent Farthington Street who sold ducks.
Is a plump one, James, lad. Enough meat and fatty on him for bread and spooning.
Sophie.
Pluck him for you before you can say Jack Rennison. Saved him for you, I did, knowing as how you'd like your bird come Friday.
Sophie.
What you want, James, lad?
A favour.
No, what could a handsome lad like you be wanting with 12 buttons agleam and a badge a-shining? What could you be wanting, lad?
There's a girl...
Ah, then you'll be needing another duck, and you have no money to pay poor Sophie. And you're going to stand and wheedle and make poor Sophie...
Isn't that at all?
And you don't want something from poor Sophie, and for which you're not going to pay her.
The fact is, what I want, I'm going to pay you.
Good boy.
There's a girl, and she's indentured to Mr. Price.
Now, which Mr. Price be that be?
The cloth man in Marsden Square.
Know him? Boy's a pigeon now and about.
Go to him, Sophie, and ask whether you can borrow this girl of his, Mary Warden, for the day. For some work you need done.
What kind of work will that be?
Oh, cleaning, sorting the feathers for ticking and pillows, and I'll give you the money to pay him.
Ah.
Will you do it?
Well...
Go to him, hire her for today, and keep her at your house tonight, and deliver her back tomorrow.
And money to keep me mouth shut for whatever's going to happen.
£10 for all of it.
You're a one, ain't you, James?
Will you do it?
Of course, dear lad, of course.
Now then, you see how it's done?
Yes.
Now let's see you do it. Now, here's the cloth. Put the thread through here. And here, then loop over, then through here, and here, loop, then right through here, and the machine is ready to sew. Now you do it, Mary.
Well, I want to, Mr. Price.
There, good, 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 good. You've done it, girl. You know how to make a single thread chain on a sewing machine.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm a Mary.
Yes, Mr. Price.
Your fingers will not be stuck with holes anymore. The reason I bought this machine.
You're concerned for my fingers, Mr. Price.
Aye, for your fingers and your hands and your hair.
Oh,
What are you trying to say to me, Mr. Price?
You're comely. I noticed this first when you were behind the wire at Mother Winnie Penn's. And
I'm just an indentured maid, sir. And the way you speak to me, as if I were a maid who's being wooed.
Oh, Mary, Mary.
Ducks and pigeons.
Once none today.
Aye now, Mr. Price. Aye now, lass.
Good morrow, Auntie Sophie, and we've made enough without your birds, but tarry off.
But I didn't climb these stairs for just a selling. No, indeed. Hello, lass.
Hello.
I heard that you were a one for cleaning.
Oh.
What's this? What's this?
I need a cleaning girl, I do.
Oh?
And of money to pay for her. £1 till tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, a pound's a pound, and in the pockets it's sound, I always think. What do you say, girl? What do you say, Mary?
Whatever you want.
And tomorrow, when you come back, we can take up the conversation we were having.
Yes.
Here's the £1, then, Mr. Price.
There you are. Have a good cleaning for Auntie Sophie, girl.
Well, I will indeed.
Come along, lass.
Auntie Sophie.
Yes, lass.
James Evans sent you to me.
La, la.
To take me away for a night and a day.
La, la, la.
Oh, he's a one, isn't he?
La, la.
Oh, him and his 12 brass buttons.
Oh, my.
I sewed them all on. All of them.
Oh, my. Ducks and pigeons, pigeons and ducks.
That night, that very night.
Fire! Fire!
Fire in the cloth factory of Mr. Price. How it started, no one knew, but the hue and cry went up.
Fire!
And there was flame and smoke and shouts of alarm. And first on the scene, you guessed it, the Norwich Union boys. And first running up the steps, you guessed it, James Evans, axe in hand. First in the factory loft. Vision obscured, he went to work. Very good boy with the axe.
Price?
A forge on fire!
Help me!
Where are you?
Help me! Help me!
They saved most of the factory, the Norwich Union boys did. The fustian vats, the sewing machine, and the main bales. The one thing they didn't save, which lowered their score considerably, was Mr. Price. He was found in some ashes with an axe wound in his head. Then suddenly everyone turned on the Norwich Union boys. Careless with the axe, they were called. Wanton, and worse, murderers. So an investigation was held, and it was soon determined that James Evans was the fireman chopping closest to where the body was found.
And then what happened? Well, Chief, it was smoky, and the flames were fairly licking at me buttons, and...
Rossiter says he heard someone cry out. As if to say, help me, help me.
Well, there was such clamour and excitement, Chief Mumsley.
Rossiter said he thought he saw, through the smoke, of course, a human torch.
Possibly.
Then you admit it. It is possible that there was an outcry, and it is possible that there was a human torch.
Yes, sir.
And you also must admit it, that you were close by wielding the axe.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, it is possible that you delivered the axe blow, which found its mark in Mr. Price's head.
Yes, sir.
There is a noise, you know. A nasty noise. People speak of the Norwich Union boys and sneer. People speak of wanton murder.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, for the good of the Norwich Union, you understand... Therefore, I must report this to the police and hand you over to them.
Sir?
Yes?
It was an accident.
Oh.
I admit I felled Mr. Price.
Oh, now.
I thought he was a flaming bale of rags.
Oh, now.
And I struck at the bad part to chop it apart from the good part, as I'd been taught.
No.
I must tell you, sir, I put out the fire. If the fire happened to be a human torch, and I could not know it then, if it happened to be a torch, well, sir, I put it out as I'd been taught.
Oh, no.
And 2 weeks later in court, that was the boy's defense. And while he said it...
I was putting out a fire.
And while he said it, he looked so handsome standing there and so brave. 12 brass buttons and his shining badge, with a shaft of morning sun twisting through his curls. The stance he took, he seemed somehow a symbol, as if he stood between a hungry fire and a helpless child. And if he had but to wish it, the fire would go out like that. As a matter of fact, just after the jury brought in the verdict, the judge made a statement.
I must commend the gentlemen of the jury for the verdict they have rendered. Not guilty, they have said. James Evans, approach the bench. Closer, boy. Boy, fireman, I imagine often what it is to face the flames. Sometimes, I must tell you this, when I hear the clangor of the fire engine, I hasten to where the conflagration is, and I stand and watch the consuming as the tongues of flame leap up. Leap up! What a brave man you must be to walk into those infernos. I know you must be brave, for I only stand and watch and I shiver. And how it must be to be like you are, a hero of the flame, master of it, slayer of it. You are a hero, boy, and that you, overzealous, have made a mistake and put axe to a human being should not be held against you. If you will approach yet closer, I will shake your hand.
And later, the judge, Judge Wilcox was his name, married the two lovers, James Evans and Mary Warden, and became a great friend of the family. The three of them would sit there in front of the fireplace and just stare at the flames for hours.
James Evans, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann. And the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Alastair Duncan was heard as James, Betty Harford as Mary, and Ben Wright as Mr. Price. Featured in the cast were Paula Winslow, Florence Walcott, and Richard Peel. Bob Lamond speaking.
Hear The American Way, starring Horace Hite, Thursday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
From April of 1954, it's been Crime Classics, the case of fireman James Evans. Well, that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. So till next time, thanks for listening and so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.